Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
He's TJ Lang, and he's in studio with us for the next hour, wrapping up a Lions victory Monday. 8 straight, 9-1, betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. 600 yards of offense with Neil Downs, as Dan Campbell pointed out. This team called off the dogs, TJ, and still had one of the great offensive days in league history. Where do you want to start?
I think just the overall response from the offense. I mean, I talked to a lot of those guys throughout the week and yesterday before the game, and they said, Man, it was not a fun week. You know, sitting in those meetings and having to rehash that Houston game, especially the first half of that Houston game. And, you know, you're like, all right, point taken. We got it, man. Like, we're good. Well, you know what I mean? Because coaches, You really hammer home the point when you have a performance like that. And I think those guys couldn't wait to get back on the field. Jared Goff couldn't wait to get back on the field. Clearly. That offensive line.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get back on the field. And just that offensive dominance, you know, getting back to their form, doing what they were supposed to do against a bad team. And all the crazy stats we've heard today, I mean, the records that they're setting, I think one that even yesterday during the game that I was like, man, this is a sign of an ass kicking. They had one negative play on offense. And it was, I think, the little jet sweep that Josh Hines-Allen made a great play on, one-on-one tackle. But you have one negative play on offense, and how many plays did they?
76.
76 plays. That is incredible. Yeah. That is so hard to do. Just a sack or a minus one-yard run or minus three-yard. You know what I mean? Like, that's a stat to me that let me know that they just dominated. And I'm not going to say anything new that you guys probably already haven't said. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's incredible what they're doing. And it's an incredible way to bounce back, especially if you're that offense. And the defense, you know, look, I know there was a negative there with losing Anzalone for a while, but they don't flinch, man. They don't flinch. They're violent. They're fast. They're physical. How many hits did we see yesterday that's like, oh, my goodness. Like, they're setting a tone on these guys, right? Just an overall ass kicking from the entire team. I love the way they responded after what was a rough game, as Coach put it, and a tough way to win last week in Houston.
Well, when you look at what they had to go through all week, and I love the fact that the coaches just didn't gloss over it. Oh, it was a win, and TJ, you know this. Sometimes you're a part of teams where the little things get glossed over because you did win. And you don't address them, and then eventually they bite you in the backside and they cost you a game. The fact that they didn't gloss over any of those things, and the result is what we saw, a team that was highly motivated because they didn't want to live through another week like that.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right, and I think that's a sign of good coaching. And, you know, I had that in I'm sure you had coaches like that. Mike McCarthy was like that in Green Bay. We'd win games. You know, we'd be up 42-14 and final score would be 45-31. And we'd come in feeling happy on Monday and the coach would be pissed off. Like, we shouldn't have let him score. We should have buried that team. You know, we should have won by 40. It's like, whoa, dude. Like, hey, we all thought we had a good. But that's a sign of like always finding ways to improve, right? And that's one thing that Dan Campbell always harps on. And even you can kind of get it when you guys talk to him Tuesday.
Yeah.
And when I talk to him, you know, after the games, it's rarely does he make it about the other team. Rarely does he say, we've got to do this against this team. We got to, you know, we got to stop that guy. We got to stop this guy. We have to be able to do like it's more about what they have to do themselves. And I think they understand that with the way they're playing, the talent that they have, the way that these guys are coached, it doesn't really matter who you're playing. Like if we go out there and we take care of our business, there's not a team that's going to compete with us right now the way we're playing. And I really think they believe that. And I think they should believe that because I think that's ultimately how it is.
Yeah.
TJ, you played on a Super Bowl winner. You also played on a 15-1 team. Like, when you look at this Lions team, do you see Super Bowl? Do you see 15-1? I know those are two different teams for you, but what do you see in comparison?
Yeah, well, I don't want to compare my teams because the year we won the Super Bowl, we were 10-6. I think we were the sixth seed. We snuck in, young team that just kind of got hot at the end of the year. And then the year we were 15-1, rolling teams, we ended up getting crushed in the division. So I don't want to compare this year and say, they're going to be 15-1. I think the way I would compare it is this team knows. I think they're starting to really figure out how good they are. You know what I mean? I think that they've known, like, hey, we're good. But there's always in the back of your mind, any given Sunday, like, these guys get paid to, right? But when you put together such a streak of how they're playing, and it's not just this year. It's going back last year. It's going back to the second half of 2022. When you do things the right way, I think that just solidifies the belief and the validation you have that now you are in that conversation of those teams, right? And I know that we talk about Super Bowl and we talk about the future and, hey, what's going to happen in December, January, February, possibly with this team. Those guys in the locker room don't think about that. You know what I mean? And even you got a glimpse of it yesterday with Kirby talking, Jared Goff, hey, guys, let's enjoy this one. Hey, we should. Let's celebrate. It's on to the Colts. You know what I mean? Like, that's all you can afford to think about. If you start thinking about, oh, man, we really got a chance. And, oh, man, look at all these other teams are losing games. And, oh, they look beatable, right? You're putting your focus in somewhere that it's not going to be beneficial to you. So,
TJ, let me ask you, you were on the 15-1. Like you said, why didn't it happen? What happened? Was it the hunger? Because you won the previous year?
No, and there was some things that happened late in that year that I think really distracted our team.
Wasn't it?
No. I'm not saying that, but it was a rough week, I think, leading up to that playoff game. And I think that people, I mean, this is probably well documented, but we had a couple people close to our team, family members that had passed away, and we had a lot of people going through some adversity. And I think that was part of a distraction. And that was our offensive coordinator, Joe Philbin, had lost a son that week. You know what I mean? So it's like that. I'm not blaming that, but I'm saying there was a lot going on that week leading up to that game.
How fragile this can be, right?
Yeah, and I think that, and I don't remember going into that game, get back to a positive way here, but I don't remember going into that game thinking, oh man, as long as we just roll out here, we're going to, you know, smoke these guys. It honestly turned into a game where, kind of like we saw the first half of Houston, where every single bounce went the other team's way. You know what I mean? And it just got away from us against the Giants, and the Giants were the team that year that ended up getting super hot, and that was, I think, the second time that they ended up knocking off the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. So we ran into a team that was, and honestly, I think with that team, we didn't really run into too many adversity moments, right, where we had to fight our way out of things. Like, we were rolling teams. That's why I think what was good for this Lions team last week, going into that Houston game, figuring out, okay, man, if we play bad foot, like, we can lose to anybody, and trying to find a way to fight back, which they did last week, I think that was so beneficial. And even if they would have lost that game last week in Houston, I still think that would have been beneficial to this football team. Just realizing, okay, hey, we got to remind ourselves once in a while that we can't just roll out here. We can't just strap the helmets up, lace the shoes, and go beat anybody. We gotta play football, and we got to play our brand of football. So I think that's – and it's going to happen more, I think, throughout this season. You're going to get tested a little bit. But those moments, I think, are what really start to galvanize a team when you talk about going into the December games and into January and gearing up for playoff football.
We'll take phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. A lot of ground to cover with TJ for the next hour here. Alex Anzalone, the injury, 6 to 8 weeks. How significant?
Yeah, bummer. I mean, look, he's your leader. I mean, those guys rave about him. I think he is... he's one of the straws that stirs that drink, right? And coaches love him, and the leadership that he plays with and the physicality that he plays with. I think that anytime you lose a guy like that, sure, it's going to hurt. Now, do I think they're in a better position rather than, you know, what they were when they lost Hutchinson? Yes, I do. I think their linebacker group is playing pretty good football. Jack Campbell has really taken that year two step. His sophomore year, I think you can tell things are starting to slow down for him. I think he is primed to take over that green dot role and lead that defense. And Malcolm Rodriguez is a guy who kind of, you know, been a little bit forgotten, the odd man out, gotten a lot of playing time this year when Derek Barnes went out, and he's playing really good football too. So I think that they're better acclimated to adjust to this one than they were, six, 7 weeks ago when Hutch went out.
And here's the other thing about losing a leader like Alex Anzalone to that injury. Hutch isn't able to be on the sidelines right now. He could be in meetings. He can be around. He's going to be spending most of his time rehabbing. But Alex Anzalone, with that in, with the forearm, like he can be on the sidelines. Like he can actually defend himself and get out of the way. So I expect him to still provide some of that leadership on game days, whereas you don't get a chance to see Hutch other than when they show him in a, you know, in the box.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt. And that goes a long way, right? Being a part of – and I know that, you know, I did coach – I don't know if that's injury that requires surgery or if it just requires a cast to heal. But obviously, if there is a surgical surgery, he's probably going to need a couple days to recover from that. But you're right, yeah, if you just throw a cast on, being in the meeting rooms and helping those guys out, right? And
it could be a huge help.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, you know, when you look at when you see Za'Darius Smith and even that Houston game when he wasn't playing, how interactive he was with the guys on the sideline and trying to give the leadership and give them tips and give them keys. And that's just that veteran presence that you bring. So you're right. I think with Alex, the leadership, they're not going to miss any of that, at least through the week, and hopefully still have some of that on game day with him being on the sideline helping out a lot of those young guys.
Well, John, you remember when we were at camp and we would talk to linebackers in the room, linebacking coaches. They felt like they had four starters. Now, you don't play four linebackers.
Right.
You really are playing two and sometimes three, but they really liked that they had four guys.
Yeah.
You lose Barnes, Anzalone could be back for the playoffs. It does. Malcolm Rodriguez was that fourth guy.
Yep.
And you're going to have to step up.
And Barnes could, I think...
Could be back by the playoffs.
Could be back late in the season.
And, but now you've got some role guys that have, at moments, played well, done things that they've needed to do in Neiman and Nowoski.
Yeah, Neiman's a veteran guy. And even yesterday he comes in, and I think the first play after Anzalone went out.
Makes a play.
You know, he's in one-on-one coverage. They test him. Okay, great. Well, I'll go make the tackle, right? And so they've got guys that can fill that role.
And Aaron Glenn's done a really good job. I mean, you lose Aiden Hutchinson, reformatting the defense and still looking really good. They can lean on their secondary. The secondary's really good right now. Yeah.
And they play tough, man.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like
they come up
three times.
Support.
Yeah, three times back to back with Branch. I think on the first hit, and then Kirby the play later, a couple series later, Amik Robertson comes up, blows up a screenplay. Like they just play. They play fast. They play physical. They're feisty. Those guys are so competitive back there. Yeah, and then Kirby getting another interception. I mean, what a hell of a play, man. But you're right. I mean, that was the biggest question mark I think in the offseason when Brad Holmes was going through all his receipts at the end of last year. I think all of us are sitting there saying, okay, man, like, yeah, you done. Let's just, we got to fix that secondary now. And he's gone on. He's done it. Those guys are playing awesome.
No quarterback has thrown two touchdowns in a game against the Lions. Yeah. And I think they still have the number one passer rater defense in the sport.
I think they've allowed seven passing touchdowns
in
10 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Phone calls. What stood out to you? It could be a stat. It could be a play. It could be a performance. Lions continue to win. We've brought up Super Bowl. Now the betting favorites. Anybody doubt what we're watching right now? It's 97.1.
Hey, it's getting cold, and if you haven't had your furnace checked or if you need service today, do what I did and call the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and same-day service. Plus, there's that 5-year warranty, so you know that you're covered. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators. They're going to take up to $500 off if you tell them I sent you off of that fast installation. Like I mentioned, they also offer same-day service. If you want more information, you can find it on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to get phone calls in the mix. We got TJ Lang. Lions win 8 in a row. Victory Monday. Let's start with Ryan in Rochester Hills. Ryan, you're on 97.1.
Hey, so I think one of the big things, obviously, was Goff, his performance, like, deservedly so, get talked about. But I think the run game for both teams really seemed to, like, set the tone. I mean, PJ and John, you guys know better than I do. I'm not a professional football player, but that was just demoralizing to see. Like, they could not stop Gibbs and Montgomery and Etienne. Like, you see him throwing his hands up and just, like, couldn't do anything. Like, I think that really seemed to set the tone more than really it seems like it's not talked about a lot, but yeah, I don't know. That seems like that was a big thing for that game.
Well, yeah, if you want to rip a team's heart out, you just keep pounding the ball, and they know you're running, and they can't stop you. Here's the other thing is Jacksonville at times was in position to make tackles on David Montgomery, yet he either ran through tackles or made guys miss and would end up picking up first downs or would end up picking up 8-9 yards. And same thing with Gibbs on Gibbs's touchdown. Like he could have been tackled in the backfield, yet decided, I'll just take a step back and I'll race you to the pylon and you can't catch me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what they said on the broadcast. I think they were just saying, like, we'll square up and I'm going to run right past you. So, that seemed to be something that I saw and I was just like, man, they just can't get stopped. And I don't know, my kids love they love the Lions now because Sonic and Knuckles. So that was cool to see that. See those guys so prominent.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? 21-0. Each had already found the end zone. Like, I mean, you look
it
up.
It felt
and
like
go,
they were going to alternate. And, and so it was Montgomery, then it was Gibbs, then it was Montgomery. And then Gibbs had that one long pass catch.
Yeah.
On the fourth drive. And you could see Montgomery on the sidelines. They actually showed him on the broadcast. And he was kind of like, are you all right?
Yeah.
And
I think
Gibbs at that point was like, no, it's my chance.
This is my time.
Yeah, you need a break?
Yeah. I'm happy to come in.
On a day like that where you're moving people,
yeah,
where everything feels like it's coming easy. Let's get
then
to...
Then they throw it to Amon Ross St. Brown for the touchdown.
Yeah. And he had a day.
Yeah, they all did.
Yeah, with 11 catches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't cover him.
No. It was everything. John, you said it was like...
It was a 4 or 5 yard out. I mean, that's just as good as a 5 yard run on first down. And then all of a sudden, hey, it's 3rd and 2 and you go for 22 to Amon Ross St. Brown.
A lot of it was so simple too. The out routes, just crossing routes. Yeah, guys just, man. It really looked like Jacksonville was playing with 9 guys on defense for a large part of that game. They just had no answer for anything.
Mm-mm. Let's get to Duran. You're next up. You're on 97.1.
All right, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Good morning.
Morning. So I was on hold for a while. A couple quick points. One, I just want to say first, if you ever want to get a little bit of extra feel good, watch other fans' reaction videos to Lions when other, like, Minnesota Vikings fans and Packer fans.
I've seen these. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
It's so great. It's so great. But Costa, you're my guy, bro. I like that you ask the hard-hitting questions, but I got just one thing for you, man.
Yeah.
I need you to, every time something bad happened, just don't freak out, man. It started with Hutch, and you're like, oh, my God, we're going to never pretty much get another sack or pressure again. We need to make a trade right now. We made it happen. Second, the Green Bay game. Oh, my God, go off outside. He's a pumpkin. He can't throw outside. He's going to be terrible. Come on, Costa, bro. Then now with the taking people out early, we get it. I want to save some time tomorrow. Go watch the post-game interview with TJ and Dan Campbell. He answered why he didn't take people out right away. It's a hard decision. You don't go in thinking you're going to blow somebody out.
Right, you're right.
And just like, all right, we're going to take this guy out. I just want you to be a little more calmer, Costa. I understand.
I get riled up sometimes. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Duran, thank you for politely checking me here because not everybody was quite as nice on the ticket text earlier today. But just to reset what I said, Dan Campbell eventually pulled Jared Goff and has done that a couple times this year. It's not soft to pull your starting quarterback when you're up a bunch of touchdowns. Okay. My question was, why, when they were up 36 points, was that not enough? You've got like a quarter and a couple minutes. You're up 36 points. To me, that felt unnecessary to put Goff out there. You can't bench everybody. But why is your starting quarterback on a season where you are chasing the Super Bowl playing up 36 points? You're going to pull him eventually. So you can't tell me, well, he needs to finish the game. Why is he in at that point? That was the question.
Was that part of the overreact, Jim?
No, that's that's a separate part of your Monday presentation.
That's called 6 to 10 every day.
Okay. That was just a reaction. Okay.
Uh-huh. TJ, you both played. Like, clearly, I'm missing something here.
Yeah, and then coach is right. I mean, you don't go into games thinking, okay, guys, hey, let's get to the fourth quarter and then
here's
get,
our target
as players,
number.
As players, you might. I think you start to know, especially as the game starts going on. All right, guys, a couple more drives. Let's finish this thing off and get some water. But that, I don't really have a definitive answer for why coaches want to wait so long, other than, you know, you feel like you're in a rhythm. You feel like your quarterback's playing really well. You want to maybe maximize the snaps for the positive plays and the momentum and keep stacking success going into, you know, the next week. Yeah. I don't know if that's enough for people to say, oh, it's not worth it to risk an injury, but you can't ever think that way. And Jared came in at, what was it, the end of the third quarter. He finished the drive, which ended up taking a couple more minutes, I think, in the fourth quarter, and then they were done. You kind of knew at that point, okay, guys, go finish the drive. Let's end on a high note and get the hell out of here. But you can't think in the back of your mind that, you know, oh, we gotta save him because he's going to get hurt. You can't think that way.
And, they do at some point. They do think that because that's why they pull him, right? Why else would you pull him? Like, at some point, the coach does consider that he could get injured by playing in a meaningless fourth quarter. My question is just when.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of, you've done your job today. Great job. It's kind of dangling the carrot in front of your face saying, go give me a couple more plays and let's give the other guys some meaningful reps. I mean, Hendon Hooker still could use every rep possible. And I thought he was 3 for 4, and even the one that was dropped, I think,
it was a good ball.
It was a good ball. Allen Robinson jumped when he probably didn't have to and left his feet.
Maybe some alligator arms.
I think he just jumped when he didn't have to, and he left his feet, and you took a big shot. But I think that's more of what goes into it. And look, a lot of these guys, too, with contracts these days, playing time incentives, right? Statistical incentives. Penei Sewell is a guy that we look at, and we're like, man, 58 still. You don't. These guys think about their snap streaks that they have going on. Hey, man, I've never missed a snap, right? I'm not going to break that now. Coach, you're not taking me out of the game. So you think about a lot of those things as well.
Well, and John, you brought up the debate here is you can't pull your entire offensive line. Well, so who are you going to rest? And you said, well, incorrectly, Frank's dealing with a pec. Hey, let's get Frank out of the game. And then Decker was dealing with the shoulder.
Right.
Now, to me, Sewell's the better player and the guy I don't want to lose.
No one's going to argue that.
But your point was...
Yeah. Zeitler is older as well. Now, Graham was still in there, but he's also been a guy that has a track record of being reliable. And I think you bring up a great point. It's hard to think about incentives at this time of the year. But there are certain incentives that guys have in their contract that are, you know, certain percentage of offensive plays. Yep. And if you get to the end of the year, would you rather be pulled in a game like this where things are going really well versus sit, you know, against Minnesota for three quarters?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're in a position where, hey, I'm literally only like 0.5% away from making my, you know, snap streak, but the playoffs are on the line. The bye week is there. And you know, coaches are more apt to remove you earlier in that game than they are in this one.
And statistically, too. I mean, you know, if Amon-Ra's got a bonus, you know, for touchdowns or yards, if Jared Goff says, hey, coach, all right, get me out of the game. You know what I mean? Is he going to get that with Hendon Hooker? Probably. You know what I mean? So there's all the – I think that there's thoughts that go into that as well.
And these are considerations that absolutely do happen. The biggest consideration is a healthy roster who has to play 13 straight games. When can I give guys a breather? I got to get to the finish line. Yeah. The Super Bowl's the biggest incentive, more than your personal incentive.
Players don't want to come out, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Players don't want to come out. Especially when you're playing a game like that and you're rolling and you got a chance.
Everything is working.
You don't want to come out of that game. You just don't.
Okay. Ticket Texter says we're dancing around the real answer. Goff is an MVP candidate. Says he's erased the 5-interception game with that performance. TJ, want to get your response to that coming up next because the market has shifted. Jared Goff fell off the map from the MVP betting last week. He's back in the thick of it. We'll get your thoughts on Goff, the MVP, and of course, more of your phone calls on the Lions. It's 97.1.
Hey, you want to watch all these great sporting events in the fall? We got more coming up in the winter, spring, all summer long. It's all year long. Why not watch it at a viewing experience that is absolutely built for sports fans, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino at Stadium Swim. You can chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. It's America's favorite place to watch every single great sporting event and moment. So you got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports, and it's all poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Brock Wright. That's Dan Miller, Lomas Brown. TJ, you were up there too. Having a good time?
I had to remind Lomas to give him the who.
Oh, yeah?
That's it's a staple of a Brock Wright touchdown
call. Yes.
The double up on the Brock Wright. Lomas was celebrating. I was like, dude, come on. We need the who.
Get in there.
Get the who.
Jared Goff threw 4 touchdown passes. No interceptions. Perfect passer rating. Are you going to be all right, John?
Yeah. No, I'm good.
TJ, did he make up for the 5 picks in terms of the MVP conversation?
Yeah, I think so. And look, the picks, we harped on it all week. I mean, none of those were bad decisions. You know, bad ball placement maybe on the one to J-Mo, but even J-Mo kind of took credit for that it said, I was supposed to keep that a little more inside. But yeah, you look at those 5 picks last week, what, 2 of them were
tipped.
One was on a Hail Mary that, okay, whatever.
Hunt.
The one to J-Mo, which we talked about, was probably, and you had the coverage there that dictated the ball should go there. And then the one to Laporta, ball coverage dictated that's where the ball needs to go, right? Just we're on the same page. So I don't think that you look at that and say, oh man, Jared Goff's just, oh, he's back to, 3 years ago making terrible decisions, forcing the ball where it needs to be. Of course, the statistics are going to hurt a little bit.
But that's what the MVP is. It's a perception award, really.
100%.
So it hurt the perception. They go, wow, the Lions won a game where you threw 5 picks. How valuable are you?
Yeah.
Well, then he comes back the very next week, and he's perfect.
Is he the most valuable player on the best team in football right now?
Because he plays quarterback? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the case that, like, Sewell or Branch.
Yeah,
or
no doubt.
Like, this is a really good team.
Does this thing go if Jared Goff's not your quarterback?
Right.
Right now, Jared Goff's 3rd in the MVP race on the, FanDuel, the betting
markets. Behind Josh Allen and probably still Lamar, even though he had a bad game.
Lamar had a bad game. Josh Allen didn't. Josh Allen doesn't have a run game, at least not in that spot. His receivers are all banged up. Is he not more valuable to his team than Goff is to the Lions?
Yeah, I think you can make that argument. And Josh Allen's probably, if I haven't looked at the odds, but probably the
front runner.
Yeah, the front runner.
You would think after last night, And because I said this last week, especially after Dan was on, and he said, Jared Goff is doing what we asked him to do. He's putting the ball where we asked him to put it. Now, it resulted in 5 interceptions for a number of different reasons, but there was a lot of drama involved in throwing 5 interceptions. Now that you're a week removed, and yesterday's game obviously played a large part in dampening down the drama of 5 interceptions, but you get 4 weeks down the road and you put another couple of performances. I don't expect 4 touchdowns and a perfect passer rating every week. That's happened twice. It's never happened in NFL history before for a quarterback in the same season. But if he's able to put together more performances, you're going to look back on that 5 interceptions and say that was a one off.
That was
a blip. Everybody's allowed a bad game, just like Lamar yesterday.
Yeah,
it was a lot of bad game.
He always struggles against the Steelers too. And it feels like it'll be a blip for him.
Yeah, in the Houston game, like, bad game statistically, but you don't look at it and say Jared Goff he made a bunch of dumb throws in that game. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, a lot of media members that vote on those awards, they don't watch games. They just read the stat lines, right?
Or they see and they look at records. Highlights.
They see the highlights, right? Yeah. They don't see the full picture. So, but good. And also, I know we're still a couple weeks away, but seeing Josh Allen and Jared Goff go head to head here in about a month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Think about this stretch.
We're going to get an up close view on,
because we know how it went last time. Last time when it was, Thanksgiving Day.
Two years ago, on Thanksgiving Day, where Josh Allen had the ball last and made the big play.
Yeah.
I still remember.
Like 20 seconds left, I think, wasn't it?
When that game ended, Taylor Decker came out and said, "We're not the same old Lions." And to say it after a loss was saying something.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody fully understood at the time, but he saw where this was going.
Yeah.
They rounded out 22 very well. 23 was great. I can't wait to see those two teams play December 15th. Think about the stretch coming up for Lions fans. This week's a road game against the Colts.
Don't overlook that one.
Well, you could travel to it. It's close.
Yeah.
Sure. But then think about the 3 straight home games they'll get. Thanksgiving Day, a division opponent, primetime Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers, and then Buffalo.
Yeah.
In a big-time 4 o'clock America's Game of the Week spot. That's a huge stretch for home games for Lions fans.
And it's a huge opportunity for this team to continue to distance themselves from everybody else. Right?
Yeah, no, it is, because they're only up a game right now on the Eagles. Only up a game right now on
Vikings,
Minnesota. Let's get to Ross and Macomb. Ross, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing? I got one beef with the receivers. When you score a touchdown, can you just flip the ball to the referee instead of all his theatrics?
Well, you didn't like that J-Mo flipped into the end zone?
Well, the point is, he can do anything he wants, but if he hurts, gets an injury because of his, he wants to show off, that hurts the team for a Super Bowl bid.
TJ, you don't want to touch that one?
I understand what you're saying, and I see where you're coming from. I don't have a problem with the celebration.
You know what, guys? We should hand it to him like Barry Sanders did, right, TJ? What do you think, TJ?
Respect the game.
You know?
Hand the ball to the referee.
It's
one flashy celebration.
Cross the goal line, put some bubble wrap on, and go get some water.
Well, it's one thing, like what he obviously was doing, the whole Calvin Johnson. And I get, you know, honoring Calvin Johnson in that moment, but it did cost him 15 yards. I'm more concerned about that than I would be about him getting hurt celebrating.
The only thing that's going to get hurt is he's going to get fined, potentially. And if he's willing to pay the fine, then who cares?
This is why players...
For the grab?
Yeah, because he did the grab of the crotch.
The Marshawn Lynch? Anybody doesn't know what that is.
It's why players... Please describe. Drop the ball before going into the end zone. They don't want to get hurt celebrating.
Right. If you want to take a look, Marshawn Lynch.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, John.
I only have one beef with celebrations. If you score a touchdown,
yeah,
just go pat the offensive lineman on the head.
Yeah, thanks, right? buddy.
You just
yeah.
give you hey, great job, guys. Great protection, great blocking. Appreciate it, and then go do whatever you want to do
on a play like that.
All we need is just a little tap, right?
In
just
his defense, on a play like that.
You're right. There's probably nobody around.
It's going to take a little time for me to get down there. Go ahead with your celebration. When you're done, I'll take the pat on the head at that point.
Do you guys want to be included in more celebrations? Can you speak for all offensive linemen?
We just want to celebrate.
Yeah.
We've seen some choreography with the Lions. I just didn't know if big guys want to get involved in that too.
Well, have we seen it yesterday? I don't think so. The Houston game.
Where they're all in the end zone.
Yeah, they were doing something in the... I just can't remember. It slipped my mind, but... Yeah, you'd like to get maybe one a game, if it's a big one. Hey, boys, we're pulling this one out if we score.
Especially if you're scoring seven touchdowns in a game. You have some room for that.
That's a good point. Yeah, but you don't have seven celebrations. You don't have time during the week to get seven.
What's the install for celebrations? How much time do they spend on that?
Way too much time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, way too much time. Yeah, if you're in the locker room, trust me, those conversations are ongoing throughout the entire week.
Or like a Saturday walkthrough, you're out there working, getting a sweat, and you look over and you see guys like doing a dance move. You're like, geez.
Right now?
They're over there choreographing.
Well, Za'Darius busted out four celebrations in 10 seconds. Like he'd been waiting.
Yeah.
He probably knew that was his last only sack he was going to get. He had to unload the clip, dude. He didn't get one until late in the game. He's like, I'm probably going to get pulled soon.
This is it.
I got to get them all out. Let's go.
All right, back to the phones we go. Greg in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday, like, for sure. Just a couple quick comments, and I'll be out of your way. As far as reference to the Pistons team, Garrett Goff is Isaiah Thomas of the football field, reference from the Pistons. He is the Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he has the ability to speak people apart. Secondly, I do agree that I felt that Garrett Goff should have been pulled much earlier than it did, only for the simple fact I need to see what Hooker can do and what he can't do, and whatever it is that he can't do, we have plenty of time to fix it. And I guess I'm looking at Hooker also as I look at all these other rookie quarterbacks coming out and playing and doing exceptionally well. I really want to see what Hooker can do and what he can't do, and every opportunity to prove what he can do. And thirdly and lastly, I really didn't like the J-Mo celebration. I don't think he needs a type of attention. And if you watch J-Mo when he goes into the end zone, he always leaps and dives. I mean, always. I just need him to go into the end zone clean. Those are my comments.
Well, thanks, Greg.
Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah.
As much flack that J-Mo has taken, this is not an area that I feel like we should be putting any on his plate.
Let the young man have a good time.
Is this the new Applebee's? I mean, people have now given up that Applebee's commercials with Dan Campbell is hurting the team because he's spending too much time
in the offseason.
Yeah. Is this the new Applebee's?
Is this how I sounded earlier when I was bringing up the injury risk? Like, really, dude? Yeah, today, this is what we're doing? I get it now.
It kind of felt like you were about 65 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
That old guy used to work with.
Did you have someone in mind when you said that? Let's get to Ron in Everett. Ron, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Is this how,
Turn on your radio, bud.
Ron, I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your radio turned down, all right? See if we can do this together. I believe in us. Ron, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I'm going down to the game. Companies let me take a couple customers down to the game this coming Sunday. And listen, longtime fan, but I've always been a Packers fan most of my life. So to watch the Lions for the rest of my family doing what they're doing, I kind of stand it all, you know, how they're doing. So kind of shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these deals where what they're doing, like, we have no reference for this. We have no reference for what the Lions are doing right now.
Feels like you kind of skipped a couple steps, you know? Yeah. Like, early in the, you know, Dan Campbell, okay, by year four, let's get to the playoffs, or let's just win the division, right? Like, last year, they're like, crush all that. We're going right to the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
And then this year, you follow it up with a lot of people think, hey, are they going to have that down year, right? Are they going to get full of themselves? A lot of people getting paid. A lot of people doing commercials. A lot of this, a lot of that. Now, and I still know there's, you know, seven games left in the season. But what we've seen, you're right, there's really no precedent on this quick of a turnaround. And for people to understand just how bad this was just three short years ago, right? That's what makes it incredible.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I don't want them to look too far ahead. They got an Indianapolis Colts team that's not too shabby. You know, and then, you know, like you said, they got the Bears, the Packers, and then they got the big test, in my opinion, against the Bills, where they will stand up against the rest of the league to a certain extent.
Enjoy the game, Ron. I'm sure Lions fans are gonna show up again. It's a short trip.
Yeah. And to your point, I know we're quick, but yeah. I think I was talking to you last week about, you know, hey, don't overlook that Colts team, man. Like, they're feisty. That's a tough place to play sometimes. You get to Indianapolis. They got some young talent. Their defense, they can make you pay. But that's one thing I don't worry about with Dan Campbell. I think he's squashed all those concerns about, is he going to get the team ready, right? How do you come off a big win like this and make sure the guys, you know, you get the same effort throughout the week? That's something that, frankly, I have zero concern with on a week-to-week basis.
No, I mean, the track record speaks for itself. When you talk about, I mean, they're a team in, what was the last time that they lost back-to-back games was back in 22. They have not lost back-to-back games, yet they've been able to win in dramatic fashion and respond and win again. Like, he gets them ready.
Yeah, that's the key, man. Like, it's why you take a team that you thought, John, could win 14 games before the season, and you thought you set the bar really high, and it feels like they're exceeding all of our expectations. No, I'm not using this to gratuitously point out that I have them at 15-2. I'm serious. Like, they may exceed my 15-2. Like, John, people set the bar at the Super Bowl, and it feels like they've played better than people even anticipated at this point in the season. Like, think about how ridiculous that is. We set the bar as high as we could, and they're still going higher than that.
I know.
This football team is so much fun. We're going to keep talking about them. It's 97-1.
Hey, I decided to go with Ideal You for a number of different reasons. What motivated me was I just didn't feel good. I knew I was too fat. I had too much excess body weight, and it wasn't gonna go well for me, and it wanted to be around for my family. So I contacted Ideal You. They assigned me a weight loss coach, and in the span of 40 days, I lost 50 pounds. And since that moment, I'm down 70 pounds, so I've been able to keep it off, and it's all, you know, attributed to the weight loss coach, the support that I was given with Ideal You. If you want to change your life as well, go to idealyou.us right now and schedule your free consultation. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. They've helped thousands of people. I'm one of them. They can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.
Okay, I don't know what Carson Anderson have planned. I'd imagine it's 4 hours of Lions, but I was just saying to those guys, there's so many stats from this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That I almost feel like we can get too stat heavy, but you said you've seen something from Dave Burkett.
Oh, yeah. Dave does a great job covering the team, always has. And I'm so happy for all of the beat writers because it's been a really tough stretch of always, I mean, tough articles, tough questions. Now they're finally getting a chance to do something that's fun. And here's the one from Dave Burkett I just saw. It came out 10 minutes ago. The Lions need to average 38.7 points per game over the final seven games to go down as the highest scoring team in NFL history. Well, that seems like a lot, right?
Yeah, 38.7.
In the six games since the bye, they happen to be averaging 38.7 points per game.
So it's in play.
It's in play. It's sure it's in play.
Now, is that a points per game stat, or is that total points scored throughout a season? Because there used to be 16 games.
Right.
I'd imagine this must be a points per game.
Points per game. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a lot, but.
Do you realize?
Yeah, but they've been doing it for six games.
I guess, doable.
So when I first read the first line, I was looking, they need to average 38.7 points per game for seven games to go down as the highest scoring team in NFL history. I thought, that one's out of reach.
Yeah.
And then he throws in the gem of, they've been doing this since the bye week.
Yeah.
So I was looking this up because we had in the overreactions this week that the Lions are the best team since the 07 Patriots. The 07 Patriots had a point differential of plus 315 for the season. They scored 36.8 points per game. That's what you're referencing here. The Lions are plus 159 margin right now. They could do it.
Yeah.
They could
seven
do
games,
it.
Yeah.
The Rams in 99, greatest show on turf, were plus 284.
It seems like it's a little bit more within reach.
But, I mean, we're talking about rarefied air. I mean, we're talking about some of the greatest teams of all time.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd have to go back and look at all of the teams that have, won not just Super Bowls, but other great teams that maybe came up short in Super Bowls to say that they're, the best since 07. I think there's a lot of things that they're doing where you'd initially say, yeah, sure. I mean, Jared Goff and his numbers, his stats, his completion percentage, the two games now that he has had this year, it's never been done in NFL history, where he's thrown for four touchdowns and had a perfect passer rating. Like, that's never happened before.
Yeah. The stat that I thought was the most ridiculous is they did something that's never been done in NFL history, not Super Bowl era, but history. St. Brown, David Montgomery, and Jahmyr Gibbs all scored a touchdown in the same game. They've done that in eight games. That's the most in NFL history for any trio. History. Mind you, they're in the case of Jahmyr Gibbs, just his second season in the league together, and they're all scheduled to play together for another three seasons under contract. Think about that. Yeah. History. There's never been a trio this productive at getting in the end zone together in the same game in history.
Yeah. I knew the stat about Gibbs and Montgomery scoring in the same game. I think yesterday was the ninth time in 22 games they play together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And their Lions are 9-0.
If only Amon Ross St. Brown could have scored that ninth
but
game.
I didn't realize if that was at 9 now and they're at 8.
Think about it.
I mean, that's one game behind.
You said 22 games they've done this? Like, it's
and undefeated, obviously, in those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some playmakers, man.
Is this team better than the Packer teams that you played on?
It's hard to compare. I mean, we were such a quarterback-driven offense.
Yeah.
Right, I think that Jared Goff certainly is a valuable piece to this offense, but the teams we used to play, we knew we were throwing the ball 45 times a game, and that's when Aaron Rodgers was in his prime.
Yep.
I think the one year he had 46 touchdowns to like four interceptions. It was just a different feel to it, right? Different style of offense. We knew we were passing attack, play action attack. So it's hard to compare.
Which team had the better offensive line?
God, why are you throwing me? I don't know. I would really
like to jump in and save you, but
I don't know. We had some good groups for a little while there.
Answers that you can't answer.
I've been having fun with you today because it does. You were on some really good teams, and it is awesome that the Lions are in. Like, they're tracking to be one of the greatest teams of all time. So
I would say this: we were also built differently.
Yes,
I would say that this Lions offensive line is better run blockers, no doubt. With what they can do and the versatility that they have, they can turn into a power team, a zone team, a pin and pull, get Penei Sewell out on the end. You know what I mean? They have a lot more versatility, I think, in the run game. And we were built different. Obviously, having to pass the ball with Aaron Rodgers,
you had pass blocking tackles.
We were, I think, probably one of the top pass blocking offensive lines.
This is an offense I would have loved to play in as a player.
No doubt. Oh, hell yeah.
Especially as a tackle, when you get a chance to, one, come off the ball. And they shared this stat during the broadcast. I think it was last year, they ran the ball 43% of their snaps. This year, they're running the ball 51% of their snaps.
Yeah.
And if you can get that type of ratio, where you're going to run the ball more than you are passing the ball.
And it's a lot of play action passes too, right?
Yeah. So even the passes are, quote unquote, run blocking for the offensive line, which is amazing. And I would love to have played in this offense.
And I never had certainly a tandem of running backs like they have now. Yeah. I mean, I think the best running back I ever blocked for was Eddie Lacy was really good when he first got into the league. His rookie year, second year, he was a kind of a David Montgomery type where he's not going to be brought down by the first couple guys. That makes it fun to block for because you're like, man, if I just block my guy for a couple, you know, steps, he's going to burn right by him. So I know those guys.
I had Steven Davis for a couple of years, and that was so much fun to have a back.
You cover a guy up, man. They can go.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.